Podcast world, how's it going? Welcome back to episode 3 of Balls Deep. I'm your co-host Zach Wunderlich, as always, joined by co-host Chance Rich. Chance, how you doing, brother?
Doing well, man. It's a beautiful day out here in Edmond, Oklahoma.
I feel you there.
What's up, team?
We got our third co-host back this week. We got Mr. Caleb Price. Caleb, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing fantastic. It is glad to be back. And it was a sunny day in Edmond, Oklahoma, about sunny and 65. We've been missing the sun for a few weeks. So
I feel you there. Just got off the golf course, huh? Caleb played in a golf tournament this morning. Why don't you tell him what place you're in right now as it stands?
I'm currently in first place right now, podcast world. So if you're listening, cross your fingers for me.
My guy CP can golf. Let me tell you that.
I shot 5 under today, 67, played pretty well, was dialed in.
Dialed.
Had a couple drinks.
And I told you guys last week when we got CP back while we're on the golf topic, I told you he is our golfer of this podcast. So we wanted his thoughts, his initial reaction on the Tiger news. So, Caleb, tell us what you're thinking, brother.
Yeah, so when I first heard about it, I was super sad about it, obviously. Nobody wants, you know, anybody to be hurt in a car accident. So I was glad to hear that Tiger was okay as far as, like, you know, not being killed in the car accident. He was okay. He was in critical condition, had a couple surgeries on his leg. So it was good to hear for his family and his kids' sake that he was good.
When you hear the car crash, the last thing you think about is golf. Like, you're like
– Right. So as far as the golfing aspect of it, I don't know if he will come back from this. I've heard that the surgeries were pretty serious. So I hope he's okay. For our sake, I would love to watch him play golf again at a high level. But yeah, for me, man, being a golf fan, that's who we grew up watching, you know, playing Tiger. That's all these tour pros that you hear when they interview him on TV. That's everybody's favorite golfer. So he's kind of transcended the world of golf. He kind of made golf popular, and, you know, he's the one that kind of made me start tuning into golf. I got a couple buddies that play. Gooch, obviously, that we've talked about maybe on the pod before, and hopefully he's on here in the near future. We're going to get him on and talk about some golf. So he's one of my good buddies. But, you know, all of us grew up watching Tiger. So it was definitely sad to see. I'm glad he's okay just for his kid's sake. But like you said, you know, we're not thinking about golf whenever he gets in a car accident. We just hope he's okay
and
hope he makes it back. And, you know, we'd love to watch him play golf again, but we're just glad he's okay.
So – Before we go to the topics, because we wanted your thoughts on it first. I said in week two that when we had Kale on, you couldn't join us. First off, did the sister CP drop 30 on him?
She didn't drop 30. She did have 18 though. She had a good game.
Serviceable.
Nice. Yeah,
18 will work.
She's definitely the most athletic of our family.
But you sent me, you know, your topics for week two because you obviously couldn't join us. But just so the people that listen to week two, now to week three, if I'm wrong, then correct me. But one of the things you texted me was Tiger will win another major.
Yes, he will.
So CP's on record that he will be back. He will win another.
Yes, it's recorded on the pod. So here's the deal. Everybody doubted him. They said he'll never win another Masters. He came back and won a Masters. It was kind of unthinkable. I still think that, barring that all surgeries go well, I think that he's got 6 to 8 years left golfing at a high level, competitively.
6 to 8?
I think he's got 6 to 8 years left, barring surgeries go right. Sorry, I've had a handful of drinks at the course. So
hey, you're good.
Barring that all surgeries go right, I think he's got 6 to 8 years left. You know, golf is one of those sports that you don't have to be necessarily primed up in your athletic peak to play. You know, we see older guys being able to get around. You know, that's why golf's a good game to pick up. We can play it. You know, we can't necessarily play baseball until we're 60, you know.
No, absolutely.
Till we're 60. So I think he's got 6 to 8 years left. I think he'll win another major just because of what he's got going on up here. I think he's elite.
He's a hell of a
mental level golfer. You know, I think he's a killer up there. So I think he's got another one in him. I'd like to see it. So we'll see moving forward. first and foremost, I hope his surgeries go okay.
Yeah, for sure.
CP, just for the record, last week whenever we were doing our podcast, I fully agreed with you on I think he'll win another major. I don't think this is the end of Tiger Woods, man.
So I think it's going to be a little bit tougher for him.
Obviously.
Obviously. Because there's so much young talent. You know, we see all these guys. You got Hovland, Matt Wolf, Colin Morikawa. You know, I know I follow golf a little bit closer than you guys do, but you got all those young guys that are coming in. It's going to make it a little tougher for him to compete at a high level. But it's one of those deals where golf is a four-round sport. You know, it's not one game. You play 4 days in a row. And you know, when those younger kids get paired with Tiger towards the end of the weekend, I think it's a little bit of a star-studded deal. Like,
yeah,
oh, shoot, I'm playing alongside Tiger. I better hook it up. And I think they get a little bit of tight and nervous maybe. So
yeah, for sure.
We'll see. I'd like to see him play again.
I know myself. Like, let's put myself in. You know, let's say I'm a professional golfer. You know, if I got a 2-stroke lead going into Sunday, and Tiger's 2 strokes behind me, and I'm paired with Tiger, I'm shitting my pants from the get go. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna hit balls like I should because Tiger is paired with me.
You know, it's very similar to like if I were to step into the box with you on the mound.
Hey,
you know, I would get very nervous.
You know, it's game over from when you walk in there. You know, you're like, I don't care if this guy.
I don't want to see this guy.
If he's throwing me a hook or a changeup, like I know I'm beat. You know,
I'm shook. You know, I'm shaking in my boots.
I hear you. I mean, anytime you step in a box and you know it's you know 98, 99, touching 100 miles an hour from the left side, you know it's probably game over. You know, and that's what I did. I stepped on the mound. And I throw you a 99 mile an hour fastball and tell you to
Speaking of, Kale last week, which I'm sad that I missed, that's one of my close buddies. He's up there around, you know, 95, 96, 97 these days. Yeah. So
he can throw the shit out of it.
Yeah, he's a good arm.
When we ended last week, you know, for the listeners out there, Kale is definitely going to be back on us one of these weeks. He's going to come back on with us when CP's here. Like we said,
we'd love
last
to have
week,
him back.
They were teammates at Oklahoma Christian, so you know they can share some stories. As much as great content that Kel gave us, I'm sure there's some college stories that Kel and Caleb can elaborate on as well. But with that being said, let's hop into our first topic this week. We got J.J. Watt to the Cardinals. Did anybody see that one coming?
That was a big no for me. I mean, I was pretty dead set on it. I thought he was wanting to go to the Browns, to be honest with you.
So, I think we talked about it on our first pod that we thought that he was leaning towards the Browns, which is kind of what I thought. I didn't really have an idea. And, again, just like you guys, I know Red for sure, but I follow a lot of my sports via Twitter. You know, that's I just kind of – I read all the articles. I follow it along Twitter, and I never saw anything talking about the Cardinals. It's intriguing to me. I think that Kyler Murray obviously had a lot to do with it. DeAndre Hopkins had a lot to do with it, obviously. Those are the two stars. And obviously DeAndre and JJ being close in Houston. Again, and we brought it up on episode one, it makes me think about what the heck are they doing down in Houston. You know, they're letting all these guys go.
It's a shit show.
Yeah, it's getting bad down there, man.
Him going to Arizona, though, it definitely makes them better. Anytime you can add J.J. Watt to a team, it's going to make them better. Do I think that they're a competitor now? Not necessarily. You know, I don't think you look at the top teams that are coming back, and Arizona's just not as good as the top 4, 5, 6 teams.
No.
They're going to be competitive again. They'll have a very similar year. J.J. Watt's going to help them tremendously, but I don't think that he necessarily takes them over the edge.
And I'll agree with you there. I think they need O-line help. Like, as Kyler Murray's legs are deadly, and he uses them a lot, so you don't have to have a great offensive line for Kyler Murray, but you don't want him running like he does. But as much as I say, like, I don't know how much that will help him, he's teamed up with Chandler Jones now.
Right,
Since 2016 or whatever it is, I can't remember. The two leading sacks in the NFL are Chandler Jones at 97.5 and J.J. Watt at 95. And as much as you can say, you know, Kyler needs offensive line help, well, if their defense is holding people to 14 points, Kyler Murray will go out and put up 14 points
right. with DeAndre Hopkins. And he'll do it with his legs and through the air. So,
exactly.
I mean,
he's elite.
To show up.
Anytime you can get a guy like J.J. Watt, it's going to make your team better. I mean, it's just how it is. You know what I mean?
This is a little off topic, but we're talking about football, and I know it's coming up. I can't remember the date of it. Who do we got going first pick in this year's NFL draft?
It's 100% Trevor Lawrence.
I was about to say, okay, I was making sure. I think he's been projected for about 2 years now.
So I think he's definitely the number one pick. I know that after the national championship game, there was a lot of people that I think that were like prisoner of the moment. They were like, oh, Justin Fields is going to go number one. And it's like, no, well, I think Trevor Lawrence.
And I've seen mock drafts from McShay, which I'll trust McShay's word, you know.
Right.
I've seen mock drafts that have Justin Fields going 15th, 12th, number three.
Yeah. And I'm not a Justin.
Like, he's all over the place.
I'm not a Justin Fields hater. He's a great player.
Right.
He's not in the same ballpark as Trevor Lawrence.
No, not even close.
Especially not when it comes to pro style. Like,
exactly.
T-Law's got some of them underrated legs. He'll outrun you, too.
Hey, he can kind of run, and he's 6'6", and has a cannon. You know, he checks all the boxes.
I don't want to compare him to this guy because he hasn't played a snap in the NFL, but if Chance, you know, was mentioning the underrated legs, that's somebody I think of like Pat Mahomes. Everybody thinks of Pat Mahomes' arm. Pat Mahomes will kill you with his legs.
Yeah, but he's
got sneaky legs. He's not uber fast, but he's got sneaky legs, and he's really smart. Yeah.
He knows when to bail. He knows when to stay.
He knows when to run. He's very smart with his legs. Exactly. When he runs, it's because he knows he's about to do something with them. So, I mean, he picks it up well.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And we'll keep it on the NFL topic. We'll go to I'm a diehard Chiefs fan. You guys know that. Pat's my guy, but when we're talking about QB1, it's Baker Mayfield.
Oh yeah,
that's all of our quarterbacks here. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So Baker Mayfield.
Hey, so let me bring this up, and I know this probably isn't on our list to talk about, but I love talking about Baker Mayfield. Does he have a Super Bowl in his future?
No.
Ooh, that's a good ass question.
No, he does not, and let me tell you why. Is because it's bad.
Let me text Baker and tell him that you said he doesn't have a.
It's Super bad Bowl fortune for him. I love Baker Mayfield with all my heart. That's my quarterback. That's my QBB. But the reason why he won't is because of my QBA. he came into the league when Pat came into the league. The Chiefs have surrounded Pat with incredible talent, and they're all locked up. We said it in week one, the target's on the Chiefs' back. I get it, but like the way they're constructed right now in the AFC, who's beating them? I want to say who's beating them in the NFL. Obviously, Tampa Bay can beat them, but I think for a long time, Patrick's going to have his shot at a ring every year.
I think so too.
And that's just my thoughts on it. You guys can elaborate on what you guys think. Right. That's my thoughts on it.
Me personally, I think if the way the Browns are going with their organization right now, and they keep just building and building and getting these like really good athletes in, I think they have a shot. They have a fair shot just as well as any other team. And the fucking Chiefs aren't, you know, the world beaters of, you know. So I think the Browns will have a fair shot. And I mean, if the game that they played against the Chiefs in the playoffs this year was pretty sketchy, if you ask me. But at the end of the day,
Pat got hurt.
At the end of the day, you know, Chiefs came out on top, got the W. You can't complain about it. But I think the Browns have a legitimate shot at making it to the Super Bowl themselves, man.
Right.
And I'll say this on the Browns topic and on Baker Mayfield. If they want a shot at a Super Bowl, if they want a shot at beating the Chiefs and knocking them off, Baker Mayfield on this extension, because they're going to sign him to extension. He is a max player. He has turned Cleveland
especially
around.
For somebody like the Browns. He's proved himself at the Browns.
Absolutely, but
he absolutely had to this year.
If they want if they want to be relevant, Baker's going to have to sign a team-friendly deal. He's going to have to. Because if he takes if he takes the max, if he gets paid a fuck ton of money, they're going to lose Chubb. They're not going to be able to re-sign Ward. You know, they because they got a lot of money locked up in Myles Garrett.
A lot.
If he takes a max deal and gets paid like he should, now don't get me wrong, he should be paid a lot of money because he has turned Cleveland around. But if they want to be relevant and actually have a chance at it, he's going to have to take a team-friendly deal.
From the worst team to the to a you know a playoff team in 2 years, I think that's pretty damn good. So I max deal, you know, in the process, but I think given the harsh criticism of Baker Mayfield's past right now, and you know him not being such a team player because Cowherd's such a dick to him, and thinking about you know not running down the field to congratulate your players, but you see
Baker
sprinting down there with his arms in windmill fashion, being the teammate that he is, you know, I think he'd be okay with doing a team friendly deal, honestly.
For sure.
And what brought up the Baker Mayfield thing was, want to get you guys' thoughts on it. We, you know, we sent out our topic list and we wanted to talk about it. Here, let me read you directly his tweet of what he said. Almost 100%, M and I just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home from dinner. We stopped and looked at each other and asked if either of us saw it. Very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky towards Lake Travis. Anybody else witness this? So, hey, our quarterback seen a UFO. Y'all seen a UFO?
I've never seen a UFO, man.
Our quarterback.
Our quarterback seen a UFO this week, and Chance brought it up. You know, Colin Cowherd is – he's a hater. That's all he is. He
hates
Baker Mayfield. So, Baker sends this tweet out. Colin Cowherd on his show says, so Baker Mayfield saw a UFO. Joe Montana, Troy Aikman, Terry Bradshaw, and Tom Brady have never seen aliens. I would prefer my guys not talk about it. Like, how much can the guy hate? How much can he hate?
That's just hating, like, on a petty level at that point, man. And Colin Cowherd just needs to shut the hell up about it because – at this point, you obviously know that he's just out to just make fun or bash Baker Mayfield. And it's starting to get old for us OU fans or just hopefully people in general. You can tell who this guy's out for, man.
He's just trying to get clicks.
No, he is. And he knows
just trying to get clicks.
He knows that there's people out there that love Baker Mayfield and people are going to click on it. But with that being said, his show's Twitter posted that. Of him saying Joe Montana, Troy Aikman, Terry Bradshaw, and Tom Brady have never seen aliens. I prefer my guys not talk about it. Tom Brady quote retweeted it and said, how do you know I've never seen aliens, Colin?
The GOAT.
That's why I love that. Whenever read that off to me, I was like, man, I love Tom Brady. He was like, I do too, man, but screw Tom Brady. Being a Chiefs fan.
So, on the Baker Mayfield, let's finish up on Baker. Do you sign him to the max extension, or do you try to talk him into the team friendly deal?
Somewhere in between for sure.
I think it's going to be in between myself. I'm obviously, you know, being the player of the caliber that Baker Mayfield can be. He really brought it out this year, you know what I mean? And he brought
it out. Yeah, no doubt.
He brought it out hardcore. He showed what he can really do, and it paid off in big dividends at the end. And you know he's looking at more money coming up, but at the same time you gotta think about the team and how you want your team to be built around you.
For sure.
So I mean. Team friendly could mean also still a shitload of money for Baker Dog. So
I mean, here's the deal. Regardless, he's going to sign a big contract. It's not going to be Pat Mahomes type contract.
No, hell no. Nothing will ever be a Pat Mahomes type contract. Yeah. $500 million.
I don't think so either. That dude got his bag.
Man, he
got his bag. But no, I think just based off of his play this year, he deserves for Cleveland to offer him a pretty generous contract.
Very.
I agree with Red. It's going to have to be something that's reasonable to where that they can afford other weapons to put around him.
Oh, yeah. And we are all in agreement there. And I think it
– Yeah, for sure.
I'm pretty sure it comes from the OU blood we have running through our veins, buddy.
Oh, no doubt.
Well, all right. Well. With that, let's go ahead and move on to the next topic, man. Let's do some University of Texas down in the horns over here, buddy. So,
show it to me, Red.
To the Longhorns.
Horns. Give me down, some. Yeah, give me some. Down, of that.
And I hate to talk about Texas because honestly, fuck Texas. But everybody wants to freak out about Sarkisian to Texas. And this was one of our topics in week one, by the way. So I don't want this to come as random as hell. But it was one of our topics in week one, and we just haven't got to it yet because we're trying to cut time down because we know that you guys don't want to listen to us talk for 2 hours. But
that orange is so ugly.
Ugly.
Everybody, man. Everybody was hyped up on the Sarkisian to Texas thing. And let me be honest with you up front.
It's a downgrade.
Let me be honest with you up front. I wouldn't say it was a downgrade from Tom Herman. But when I first heard the news that Sarkisian was going to Texas, I was like, oh, shit. Okay. And as much as I hate Texas, I want Texas to be back. I want them to be good because that helps OU. We right. need Texas no, to be sure. good because I don't give for a sure. fuck how good Texas is. We're going to roll down to Dallas every year in October. We're going to beat the shit out of them.
Yes, we are.
But when I heard the news, Sarkisian to Texas, I was like, oh, great. That's a great pickup for them. It brings them back, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then I got thinking about it. I was like, okay, well, how good does that make them? Because I was like, well, Sarkisian's coming from Bama, which he's the OC there, and their offense was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I could have been the offensive coordinator at Bama.
That's what I was about to say.
And it would have been phenomenal.
He was a product of his environment, and Nick Saban's very good at what he does, and obviously Bama is great. So, yeah, I'm not impressed. He's got to show me something at Texas.
So you pretty much think that Sarkisian's starting off with a clean slate at Texas?
Yeah, he's going to win.
Like that myself.
He's going to win eight. He's going to win eight games.
Eight.
That's what I'm saying. Right now, I think right, he wins eight games.
I'll tell you right now, that first week in October, I'll tell you CP, myself, Chance, Mr. Jake Gilpatrick, we'll all be there. We'll be in the stands, and we'll watch another OU ass whooping of Texas.
I'll put money on it if you need to. I mean, I'm good with that.
So let's get off of Texas because I really don't like talking about them. I liked the hire at first because I thought it would make them better, but then the more I got thinking about it, I was like, well, I mean, how good is Sarkisian? Because you know he had Mac Jones and Devontae Smith and
right.
Saban as a head coach.
Hold on. One last thing, though. I got to get into that. Is 6 years, $34.2 million guaranteed. And for a guy that bought into Nick Saban's program, I just feel like that's freaking absurd, man.
And see, like, I'm okay with that contract. If he can do what he's supposed to do,
obviously, but like we were talking about earlier,
Tom Herman was supposed to do it as well, and they just bought him
right,
out for
yeah,
$27 million or some shit.
Dude, Tom Herman fucked himself with all of this bullshit that he was doing on the sideline,
mocking the Missouri quarterback, which happened to be Drew Lock.
Yeah,
yes,
Drew Lock. Yeah.
But yeah,
never mind, sorry.
If you're gonna buy somebody out for the 27 or whatever million dollars it is, I understand Texas has money.
Yeah.
But the only way I spend that kind of money to buy somebody out is if I get somebody like Urban Meyer, who was rumored to go there. I don't buy him out for $27 million to hire an offensive coordinator from somewhere.
That's had an offense that was built to do nothing but win.
Exactly. If I'm buying somebody out for $27 million, I'm getting somebody who I know can come in here
right.
and is immediately going to make my school better.
Exactly, man. I feel exactly the same way.
The only reason I brought that up, Brett, sorry we had to talk about Texas longer than you wanted to.
You're good. Yeah. You're good.
Apologies.
It's always going to be horns down. But
I can't stand them. Hey, I will say this. OU Texas every year in Dallas is so much fun.
It's incredible.
But so here's my deal is that's not giving Texas any credit because they're way down south in Austin in that shitty city.
Yeah.
They're not Dallas.
I do love OU Texas. I'll never willingly go to Austin.
A lot of turds floating around down there, buddy.
Yeah.
So let's stay on college football because, like I said, we haven't been able to get to it. That was one of our topics that we wanted to talk about, and that's Sarkisian to Texas. But then the next topic we're going to talk about is how do we dethrone Bama? How do we dethrone Clemson?
You know,
because Bama, as long as Nick Saban is there, Bama is going to be Bama.
Yeah, it's one of those tough deals. It takes me back to a few games. Obviously, the Trevor Knight game comes to mind. That's, you know, something we've talked about before on this pod. The Kyler Murray game comes to mind, something we talked about before on this pod. I think we're close, you know. I think we're right there. So, for us, it's one of those games where we get so many five stars that it's going to be tough to compete. But here's the deal. At the end of the day, you still got to line the ball up. You know, you still got to go ahead and battle it out. And so anybody can win that game. Now, do they have the advantage? Yes. But my deal is it takes one of those games where we have to play a little bit above our expectations. It's one of those games where you can't have dumb flags. You got to catch every ball.
Yep.
You got to tackle well. You can't have missed tackles. So you got to play almost a perfect game, but we definitely have enough talent. Definitely next year, and we're going to be loaded. But
no, next year. Next year is
they're always going to be the favorite, but everybody's beatable. You just got to go out there and play. You just can't have stupid mistakes. You know, we have a tendency to have stupid flags, fumbles, turnovers, that type of stuff that you got to clean up a little bit to beat a team like Bama. And I would even throw Clemson into that. You know, Bama's up here. I even throw Clemson into that group.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here too. You know, it's Bama, Clemson, and then, you know, I put Ohio State, OU,
and Georgia.
We're
trying to catch up.
So Ohio State, OU, and Georgia, elite blue blood programs.
Absolutely.
I think they're all right here. I think right now you have Bama and Clemson that are up here.
Yep. And it has – wait, I don't want to take anything away from Clemson because they've been really fucking good.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
But how good is DJ Uiagalelei going to be? Because their past two quarterbacks are coming off of Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence.
Those
are all-time arms.
It's interesting to me, and obviously they've built a culture there. It's interesting to me, and I'm a Dabo fan. I don't know how you guys feel about Dabo.
I like Dabo.
He's a really good coach and actually a really good dude.
Wish we still had Brent Venables. Let me throw that out there real quick.
Man, we missed on that. Fuck. We got rid of Brent Venables to keep Mark Stoops. Mike Stoops.
Yeah, but hey, I'm good with Grinch right now, though.
Grinch is good.
Yeah, I love Grinch.
My thing about it is, like, Lincoln Riley is a recruiter, and that's how you're going to catch them guys. But we're stalled because we can get these guys, and OU is going to be great, but Bama and Clemson are going to get those guys as well.
It's interesting to me because the Clemson's not in a football conference. ACC is not a football conference.
They're trash.
Their schedule is pretty cupcake, but they also prove themselves in the playoff, though. So it's not like they, you know, win a cupcake schedule and then get beat down.
Man, the year that they won the Natty, they came out of the freaking woodworks with Taj Boyd.
Yeah.
Nobody even really realized who the hell Clemson was back then.
Like, yeah. It's just very interesting to me. It's very interesting to me because I'm wondering how they have built such an elite program of not a football conference, don't play a tough schedule. You know, they're in the same geography as Auburn, Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, those type of teams. And I'm thinking, man, how the heck is Clemson good?
Hey, all it takes is one good season to make recruits.
Yeah, and that's what it was. That's, you know, that's what it was. It, those couple seasons they had, they're like, okay, here we go.
Because honestly, man, whenever they won a natty that year, Taj Boyd was legit.
Hey, OU has started to get some game changing recruits.
No,
they lately, I think we're starting to turn the tide.
We're getting game changing defenders.
Exactly, That's what I was about to say. Lincoln Riley's always going to get the offense.
Oh yeah, our O is going to be good.
Offense is going to be good as fuck every year, but Alex Grinch is doing his part in bolstering that defense. Wish we had Ronnie Perkins back, but Alex Grinch is getting people in there. I love watching.
It's like the defense that
the defense can play.
One of those deals where offensively, offensive-mindedly, and offensively, college football has become so hard to stop that defense is tough. But what you said is Grinch is starting to bring in some defensive dudes. That it's like the defenses that we were used to growing up on.
Yeah.
Rocky Kalmus, Teddy Lehman, Derek Strait, Antonio Perkins.
Yep.
Those type of dudes, and we're getting Roy Williams, Travis Lewis.
Absolutely.
You know, we're getting back to that type of, you know, and Ronnie Perkins was a big part of that.
Ronnie Perkins is a fucking beast. Absolute freak.
Yeah.
For sure, and we've tried to cut the time down for the listeners out there. So we'll go into our last topic. We're talking about OU. We're talking about OU defenses. We're talking about OU football. Let's talk about OU basketball. How in the fuck do you go from a 2 seed to a 6, 7, or 8 seed in a week? How, like, somebody explain to me how that happens.
So what's funny is the last time that we talked about OU basketball in this pod, which obviously I missed last week, but the first week we were pretty pumped up about them. We were on a good stretch.
Absolutely.
Here.
And then all of a sudden we're like this.
Yeah. Down at the bottom. They were number 2 in the Big 12 behind Baylor, who Baylor is unreal.
Hey, I'll tell you this.
Number 2 to playing in the play-in game in the Big 12 tournament in 1 week.
Number 7 spot.
Hey, I'll tell you this.
4 straight, boy.
When it comes to OU basketball, I am a fair-weather OU basketball fan.
Yeah, now, I am a loyal, you're a Duke guy.
I am a loyal OU football fan. All 3 of us agree on that. Basketball, I don't watch a whole ton of OU basketball, but I tuned in this year because we were supposed to be good. You know when I tuned out? Is when we lost back-to-back games to OSU.
that was this week, and I said
– brought out the brooms, man.
I said
– Hey, and to Texas.
I said in the first week – I said in the
back-to-back first week, OSU and then Texas. Fuck them.
In the first week, I said – oh, and then don't forget the game before that. We lost to K-State. It reminded me of football season.
Man.
Yeah, what are we doing?
I hate losing to K-State even more now, man.
But I said in the first episode, I said, man, you know, Cade Cunningham just don't have number 1 written all over him to me. And then the first game he plays OU, he drops 40 and 10 on us.
Yeah, he must have heard you talking, dog.
I think he tuned in to Balls Deep, and he was like, all right, this diehard Sooner fan don't think I'm a number 1 overall pick. Well, let me drop 40 on his squad real quick. But – while we're on the OU basketball topic, who's OU's best player? It's Austin Reeves, okay?
Right.
Austin Reeves pisses me off so damn bad watching him play, dude. He will play the first 34 minutes of good basketball, of smart basketball, and then when it gets down to a close game, and it's nut crunching time, and we need a bucket. Austin Reeves is not giving the ball up. He's not doing
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. He'll and I don't understand it.
He will either pull a 38-foot contested three, or he will drive the lane and throw shit off the glass and then bitch about a foul call.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It reminds me, and it I don't want this to sound bad, but he reminds me of Russell Westbrook.
You know what?
Because Russ will get in that mode to where Russ is like, I got to go get a bucket.
Right.
The only thing is, Austin Reeves ain't as fucking athletic and basketball talented as Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook yeah. will go get you that bucket. Austin Reeves cannot.
Right. Yeah, it's – why did I saw something on Twitter today that the NCAA basketball tournament was canceled. Is that correct?
I have not heard that. I don't think that's correct.
Better not
be. I'm about to search it while we're on here.
Yeah, I don't think that's correct.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. I think that was a missed tweet that I saw.
Let's hope so, man.
It had to have been, because that would have been breaking news everywhere.
Yeah, because this March
Madness. Yeah, I was gonna say I think it was a clickbait tweet.
Yeah, it had to have been. And even, man, I don't even care about the NCAA tournament. I'm ready for this Big 12 tournament. The Big 12 is so loaded in basketball.
Man, it's gonna be exciting to watch, which granted, hopefully OU wins the play-in game.
It's against Iowa State and they're trash, and which I would say, oh, that's a lock for OU, but OU trailed them like 2 weeks ago in the second half.
The play-in game. Why are we playing a play-in game? We're OU.
Hey, CP, I got a question for you, man. How do you feel about the 21% chance that Duke has to make the fucking tournament right now?
They're not going to make it. They're not going to make it.
No, they only have a 21% chance, man.
How weird is it, an NCAA tournament without Coach K?
It's going to be very wild. Yeah, it's going to be very wild.
That dude better retire.
And speaking of the NCAA tournament, are we on a collision course for Gonzaga Baylor in the title?
So that's what I see now. I think that's who it's going to be. Now, obviously, March Madness, some crazy stuff happens. Those are my two clear favorites.
Yeah, Gonzaga's absolutely stacked, man. They look
Illinois's good. Really good with Brad Underwood. They're sneaky.
Yeah,
Michigan's good. So Illinois, we'll see, but I think it's going to be Gonzaga Baylor. That's my choice.
Yeah, I mean it.
I would like to see a Big 12 team make it far, Elite Eight, Final Four, Finals. I do not want to see OSU or Texas make it.
No. Hell no.
Get out of here. Hey, Both them oranges, man. Both them oranges.
Anybody else, and really not really even K-State either. Anybody else.
K-State won't be there, so fuck them. The Sooners will be
– I'm pulling for OU. I'm pulling for OU and Baylor. I like Baylor okay.
The Sooners will be somewhere between a 6, 7, 8 seed.
Which they were projected to be a 3-4 seed early on, and they screwed that up.
Yep, and I'll go on record right now. Hey, give me the Cinderella ticket. Boomer Sooner winning it all.
Nah, let's go. Let's fucking roll.
as Sooners fans, we cannot disagree with that.
Hey, Sooners going to get her done. But, hey.
And this is off topic, but I'm going to go ahead and roll on that. It's like next year the Dallas Cowboys are winning the Super Bowl.
Fuck out of here with that.
There's the Cowboys fan coming out and CP because, hey, it's always next year's your year, yeah?
Oh, they're about to
next
really –
next year's
really,
our year.
They're about to really, really sign Dak Prescott, so now you got to
follow them. So we'll move on to one last topic, and then we'll go ahead and get out of here. It's a Saturday night. We can drink some beer. CP's in first place in his,
his
golf tournament played today at Gallardia, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, played at Gallardia, sitting in first place right now, so – CP's got to go drink some beer and celebrate a little bit. But we have a huge night of fights tonight.
Oh.
Yeah.
Three title fights.
I'm going to be tuned in.
Yeah. Israel Adesanya, the main event, the style bender.
He wants his name changed.
I I don't.
What's he's
just,
changing it? What is he changing his name to?
I can't remember, dude. But it's something stupid.
The Stylebender is a badass.
I was about to say the Stylebender is pretty.
It's kind of tight. Yeah, it's kind of tight.
Oh well.
He's the main event, so we'll talk about that fight. I don't see Błachowicz beating him. I think
Stylebender, that is not somebody that I want to see in a dark alley.
No, I feel like he's gonna style bend his face in half.
Yeah, he's a problem.
I like the kid. I like him a lot. He's a hell of a talent in the UFC. Where I get off of his train a little bit is the cockiness that he brings.
Because right.
If you want to stay in your weight division and be cocky and beat the shit out of everybody, do it.
Right.
But the moment you put John Jones' name in your mouth,
you're
running shit right
you're
there.
You're not only playing with fire, dog, you're playing with napalm.
Sit in your division, run shit like you have been, and be great. Keep John Jones' name out of your mouth, because I understand you want to make money, you want to sell pay-per-views and all that, but the second you step in that octagon with John Jones,
yeah,
your shit's done.
Yeah, good luck.
Exactly. So, great night of fights.
Amanda Nunes. Ooh.
That one, we don't even talk about that. Amanda Nunes is whooping that. I don't even know her name.
I feel really bad for the lady.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't follow the girls' fights as closely. I don't know anything about them.
I just know Nunes runs that division.
Let me get you a little insight. Amanda Nunes's track record is nothing but knockouts in the first damn round. Holly Holm, Ronda Rousey. Chris Cyborg, first round knockouts. All she does is hang around and beat people's asses.
Nice.
And you know what? Honestly, I think Amanda Nunes was straight up beat the shit out of Logan or Jake Paul. Because all they do is sit around and try to bash fighters.
I'm anxious to see another one of their fights. I want to see them fight somebody real.
I want to see them fight a real fighter.
Yes, me too.
I'm in the same boat as you. I want to see them fight a real fighter. Get in the ring with a real boxer, real fighter. Facts. I don't care if it is a UFC fighter. Like Ben Askren said, hell yeah, I'll fight Jake Paul or Logan Paul, whichever one of them bitches he decided to fight. But I think Ben Askren's gonna play with him and just beat the hell out of him, because they've never this isn't Nate Robinson they're going against. This is a real trained fighter who's fought in the UFC for a few years. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's not a YouTube personality.
Yep.
Back on that subject though, like Amanda Nunes, she's bad. I feel like she could even beat Jake Paul or Logan Paul in a fight. real talk.
Yeah, Nunes has those hands. But hey, that'll wrap us up. We wanted to experiment this week. Our first 2 weeks were about an hour long. So we want to experiment this week of, you know,
kind of. We're getting more and more listeners, and those of you out there that are subscribing and tuning into our podcast, we appreciate you guys, man. We've had fun doing it. We enjoy it, and we enjoy you guys listening. We're looking forward to adding some guests in the near future. So those of you that are tuning in, stay tuned. We're going to continue to have guests. We got a couple big time guys that we know, so we're going to get them on here and let you guys listen to them.
The people want to know about the big one.
Yeah, the real big one.
The keys to that one, CP.
It's gonna be like a Christmas present when they see that name pop up on the feed, dog.
We may go a couple hours that day. We need to hear some stories.
Hey, it's gonna go a couple hours and maybe even longer. I'll hang out all day if I got to. I'll wake up early and go to sleep late. If you're a new listener, the only thing we ask you to do is bring a friend, tag us, share us.
Send it to everybody.
We might be just a bunch of washed up college athletes, man, but we like to talk sports and we like to have fun, man. So shoot us an email or something, and we'll get on topics that you guys really want to talk about.
Yeah, and sure. To piggyback off what Chance said, you know, when we post these episodes every week, you know, I got some people out there, you know, that text me, you know, I text you guys, tell you that it's up, you know, and ask for your feedback and all that. So let us know this week, you know, or do you guys like it when, you know, we cut it down to, you know, the 30, 40, 45 minute range, or, you know, sometimes we run a little over going into the hour, you know, something like that. We want to appease you guys so that you guys will listen, but also talk about the sports topics that, you know, are big in the world that we want to talk about, like fuck Texas. But
yeah, send us some questions or subjects that you'd like to talk about. We'll input it into the pod.
Absolutely, for sure. That'll wrap it up for episode 3 of Balls Deep. I'm your co-host, Zach Wunderlich, joined by co-host Chance Rich, Caleb Price. We will be back next Saturday. We will try to have a guest on next week. I've had a couple people text me that would like to be on that I think would be fun episodes. I will talk to my other co-hosts. We'll iron somebody down and bring y'all some more content again. We appreciate you guys listening, and we will see y'all next Saturday. Chance, CP, thank you guys.
Go Sooners.
Balls deep.
I like that. See y'all, boys.
See you, bub.